One of the reasons that I am so constantly encouraging you to read your Bibles is because from a very young age, that's what drew me to my relationship with God. On my 13th birthday, I read the Gospel of Matthew, fell in love with Jesus, and have loved the Scripture ever since then. But that was reinforced when the Reveal study was done, and we found that the one correlation between spiritual growth and an activity in someone's life is daily Bible reading. And so we've been doing this now for several years, relaunching it again at this time, but we've been doing it now for several years, and I want you to hear from some of those who speak to us about their experience of this Bible reading program.
Hi, my name's Crosby McDowell. I've been doing a men's Bible study weekly for about since 1989. But about 3 years ago, our church went to a daily reading program. We call it SOAP. It stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and then a prayer that applies to that reading for that day. As we go through daily life and we run into marriage problems or money problems or work problems or whatever problems occur, that Scripture comes popping back into your head. And so for me, it's helped keep me on a path of religious standards. It's something that I should stay on. It's been a help for me. It gives me strength and confidence. And mostly, it gives me peace of mind.
Hi, my name is Brenda McDowell. It seems like no matter where I am reading in the Bible that day, something, some verse, speaks to where I am in my life. And then I, as a part of our reading program, I process that. What was did this really mean? Who wrote it? Why did they write it? What are they trying to tell their audience? And then I apply that to my life, or I think, how can I apply this to my life? And then I end with a prayer, asking our Lord to help me do the things that I have just read and committed to doing. When I first started this Bible reading program, my husband and I did it together every morning. I was a runner for many years, and every morning I had a neighbor who was standing in my driveway waiting for me to come and run with her, so I was always there. Well, that's the way I was about my Bible reading. I knew that that was the first thing that Crosby and I were going to do. He was sitting there waiting for me, and likewise, I expected him to do it. So having that partner, we don't always read together now, but having that partner to start out with, to read with, certainly kept me on course.
Hi, my name is Liz Kim, and I've been doing the soaping for about a year now. And I meet at the Ministry Center with a group of people. And sometimes there's a lot of us, and sometimes there's just a couple of us, and we read, and we discuss the passages together. Now, to me, the daily reading plan just kind of brings the Bible to life for me. And I get excited to think about what's going to happen next, or where, you know, when we pick up the next verse, what's going to happen in the next scene. It's almost like an exciting movie going on. And to me, it just brings the Bible to life and just makes me realize that we're all in this together.
My name's Janine Rasmussen, and I have been doing the soaping program since it started back in 2009. I have been studying the Bible since I was 17, but I really appreciated the idea that there would be something structured for me to go to every morning and read some parts of the Bible that I was really not very familiar with. I have loved reading the Old Testament the last few years and familiarizing myself more with the stories of the New Testament. I told Marilyn when she asked me to do that this was life-changing. And I'd have to say that it changes my life differently at different times. I have seen God's faithfulness as I've learned these stories more in a way that I never, ever dreamed that I would be able to grasp. As other people have said about their experience, the verses that I read in the morning stay with me all day long. And sometimes throughout the week, and they'll come back to me at different times. God knows exactly what I need every single day. He really is faithful in that way. About a year ago, I started soaping with another person. She wasn't as familiar with the Bible as I was, and she wanted a partner to share her soaps with. And so we started sharing emails every day with our soaps in it, and that has been life-changing too. And this is my soaping buddy, Christina Burdine. About a year and a half ago, our pastor challenged us to continue reading in Scripture after Easter. We'd done a really cool Bible study program during the Lenten season, and he said, try to stay in the Word after Easter. And Christina approached me and said, I have never spent any time reading the Bible consistently, and I know you do the soap reading program. Would you be a buddy with me and share your soaps with me? So we've been doing that every single day for
a year and a half.
How's that going?
It's going really, really well. You know, like Janine said, I had not ever really read the Bible. It was an intimidating book to me, and I didn't even know where to start. And it gives me a way to know, you know, here's the specific readings I'm reading, and it gives me a good way to actually spend time and apply a verse instead of just reading through the Bible as, you know, you would a normal book. So that's been really beneficial and had a great impact on me. I mean, I had been going to church for about 8 years, and really, I didn't know what to do with the Bible, and I knew it was an important, you know, part of my faith and my journey, and I just didn't know how to use it. And so the soaping challenge kind of gave me a reason to start.
She's an accountant. She likes structure.
Yes.
So thank you for those who shared. I appreciate your willingness to do that. We've used that in a couple of different ways, not only here at Desert Hope, but also at the annual conference of LCMC to encourage other people to be a part of this plan. So the question today is, do you believe it's true for you to say, I am rooted in Scripture? And I wondered with some groups this week, the difference between the phrase, I believe in the Bible, and I am rooted in Scripture. And I think there's a lot of people that believe in the Bible, and they believe what they know of the Bible and what they've been taught from the Bible, but they wouldn't necessarily say that their lives are rooted in Scripture. And our goal as a church is to be a people who are rooted in Scripture such that it nurtures us. Such that it makes us strong. Roots do two things for a tree. They provide nurturance so that the tree can grow, and they also provide a stability so that the tree can remain firm in the midst of the winds and rains and storms that pass. And I believe that the Scripture can do that in our lives. So I want you to just think about a couple of questions. I want you to ask the question first, which biblical character comes to mind as an example for you to follow? Which biblical character would you like to emulate? You'd like to follow some aspect of what they did. Well, and if you read the Bible at all, you know that there's not only examples to follow, there's also some examples not to follow. So which biblical characters can you think of that made some mistakes and that we can learn from their mistakes and not do what they did? Who comes to your mind as a biblical character that you don't want to follow? Now, let me see. I want to be like Jesus and be kind and helpful to others, but I don't want to be like Jesus because I don't want to be crucified. Okay, that maybe not too helpful. What would help you to commit to reading through the Bible in the next 12 months? Now, this is one of those situations where I kind of get tugged because I like to encourage people to grow in faith, but I don't like to tell people I know you're going to laugh at this. I don't like to tell people what to do to grow in faith. I really don't. I really think that each one of us is on our own individual journey, and that a big part of that journey of faithfulness is to be aware of the promptings of the Spirit in our lives and to follow those promptings wherever God leads us. But I'm also absolutely convinced that daily having the Word of God speak into our lives is one of the most fundamental, most powerful things we can do to strengthen our relationship with God and to grow in faith so that it can make a bigger difference in our lives. So I really want to get rid of anything that's in the way of your reading the Scripture. Now lately, and I'm not going to say who this is because I didn't get permission ahead of time, but lately I talked to someone who has a hard time reading. Their eyes just make it difficult for them to read. And I was able to talk to them and go to their house and show them how on the iPad and the YouVersion reading plan that so many of us use to walk through this process, you can actually listen to a dramatic reading of the Scripture. And so the ability to see and the strain on the eyes of reading can be dealt with through that technology of letting you hear the Word. It doesn't necessarily matter if you're reading it as long as you're hearing it and have that Word speaking into your life. So I'm asking you, what's getting in the way and how can you remove it? And then I want you to reconsider your view of what daily devotions is intended to be, and that we could understand that the Bible is a source for daily nurturing in our lives. All right, so we're still in measures, so you got a card today. Get out your card, or if you don't have one, ask for one. The ushers might have to jump up and share. Do you not have one, sweetie? Because this is yours probably right here. Do you have it? Everybody have one? Everybody have one? Yes? Oh, there's one. I can help one person right here. Anybody else needs to raise their hand? And Dave Strong has some. He'll bring it around to you. So again, we're asking you to, on a scale of 1 to 5, identify how strong this statement appeals to you. No, it's not the word. Applies, thank you. Couldn't find the word. Applies to you, and then we're going to ask you to put this in the offering plate at the end of the morning. On the back of your card is a little sticky note so you can make record of that so that you can take this home and add it to the scroll you were given a couple weeks ago. If you still need the scroll, there are more on the ministry table to keep a record of how these add up. So the first one, I read and apply what I learn from Scripture to my life daily. Almost never, try again, nearly perfect. Number 5, pick a number. Second question, I regularly participate in group Bible study. If you're a person that just does this on your own, you would give yourself a low score there. If you're a part of a regular Bible study with other people, you would score yourself well. When I make a tough decision, biblical truth guides me. Wow, that's a tough one. Do biblical truths come to mind as you're making important decisions in your life? And then I share with others what I am learning from God each day. How often do you actually talk to other people about what you're learning as you do your devotions? If you do that frequently, you're going to give yourself a high score. If you do that infrequently, you're going to give yourself a low score. All right, tuck that away. How often do you pray to God asking for Him to supply you with a daily provision? My suggestion is that you do that at least once a week. When you pray the Lord's Prayer and pray, give us this day our daily bread. A regular part of what Jesus taught His disciples to ask from God was a daily provision. And I believe that the Scripture is the way to daily nurture our spirits and our souls in our lives. And too often we allow our spirits to be malnourished. Malnourished. Thank you. See, my lips aren't working well today, so thanks for the help. John, I might need you to move up to whisper a little quieter. No, I'm just kidding. So how can we make the Bible a part of just like a daily meal? I mean, we wouldn't often go through life and skip eating that day And yet somehow we find that we do occasionally go through the day without feeding our spirits. And so I want you to think of the scripture as you would a meal, as you would food, and have that as a daily way to speak to your soul. Now, I'll tell you right now, and one of the reasons we chose the text that we chose today is that reading the Bible every day doesn't necessarily make life easier. Being a Christian doesn't necessarily mean now I get to walk through life as an easy path. The reality is life is hard, and it's always going to be hard. But why not take the available resources to give us strength and encouragement and direction so that we can face the challenges that come in life with greater strength? And I think we saw that in some of the readings this morning that were chosen for us. So daily Bible reading as a daily habit that nurtures our souls. And I'll tell you this too, there are sometimes, quite frankly, it's becoming less and less frequent, but there are sometimes when I go through my daily Bible reading and think, didn't really get much out of Numbers today. That Leviticus text just, I don't know, it felt a little dry. It didn't quite, jump off the page at me. I will also tell you that more and more often, it shocks me how often even those texts stimulate something positive in my heart and in my soul. But what I believe is over the long haul, having this word speak into our lives in a daily basis, even if in the moment we're not aware of it, will nurture us and strengthen us as we grow throughout the year. It's about learning to know God better. It's about hearing from our Father in heaven and getting to know his character and the various circumstances that unfold in Scripture. As I learned your righteous regulations, Psalm 119:7 says, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Last week, I asked a question, and I realize now that a number of you misunderstood the question. The question on last week's measure was, am I living a life worthy of God's love for me? And unfortunately, because of the way I worded that, a number of people heard this question. Am I worthy of God's love for me? Have I earned God's love? Now, as Lutherans, we know the answer to that right away. Nope, can't do it. But the intent of the question was to recognize God loves you. That isn't in question. God loves you more than he ever will. Right now, he loves you as much as he ever can. There's nothing you can do that would cause God to love you more than he loves you right now. But the question is, have you responded to that love in the living out of your life? Are you living a life that demonstrates that you're in the embrace of a loving God? That you're his child, that he's with you, that he's for you. And so, not worthy in the sense that I earn it, but worthy in the sense that I've responded to this place of privilege that God has put me in as a child of his love. I learn your righteous regulations. I will thank you by living as I should and obeying your decrees, the psalmist writes. Anyone who listens to my teaching, Jesus says, and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on a rock. I was thinking, Chris, about your wrestlers, and I'm remembering in some early days as a water polo player, thinking that a big game would be coming up, and so on Monday, realizing that the big game was coming up on Friday, I would think, I want to be great for that game. I want to play marvelous. I want to get strong. And so I would work out harder that week. And Friday morning would come and I would out of bed because my muscles were sore because I'd worked hard that week and realized that probably if I want to do really well in the games this season, I probably am going to have to work out hard all the time. that there's a building factor that happens in the workout. It's not just hoping to be strong when the big game comes. It's actually daily investing in growing strong, daily investing in being nurtured and strengthened. And I think the same thing is true with our roots. It's not, oh my gosh, a hard time is coming, I guess we better be strong now. You know, the roots of the tree don't grab the soil when the wind blows. At least, I don't think they do. I could be wrong about that, but I think actually what happens is as the tree grows and the roots grow deep, they're being held by the soil, whether the wind is blowing or not. And we want to be a people of God whose roots are held strong by the love of God and the truth of His word, so that whether the wind is blowing or not, we are stable and strong and confident in faith because of what God has done for us and because of His faithfulness. Ephesians 3, this part of this prayer of my life, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Anybody want to be weak? Anybody want to be strong? A few of you are still willing to raise your hands. That's good. So that's Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, that we would be rooted in Christ so that we will be strong. Strong. Why do you need to be strong? Well, to face whatever the circumstances are of the day. And then Colossians 2, sorry, I went ahead too fast, slide person. Colossians 2 says, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. There's this bracelet that some people wear. It's kind of passe now, I guess, but it's WWJD, which means, what would Jesus do? It's a great sort of moral guide in life to just stop and ask the question when someone, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? Here is the problem with the question, what would Jesus do? How do you know what would Jesus do if you don't know Jesus? Right? The only way you can imagine the answer that Jesus would give is if you've studied His life, if you know about what Jesus was like, what His character was, what His values were, how He lived, what decisions He in fact made. Because Jesus made some surprising decisions if you read the scripture. You know, like when He tells His chief apostle, get behind me, Satan. Or when He goes into the temple and this kind, loving, gentle Jesus throws the tables over. I mean, Jesus is a complex character. How are you going to know Him except to learn about Him, to read about His life, to ask the Spirit to draw you deeper into a relationship with Christ through His word? And then I read this in Psalm 119, and I thought this was kind of an interesting idea. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commands. Now, most of the time, when we think of freedom, we think of being able to do what we want to do. We don't think of freedom as being able to obey somebody else's commands. But the psalmist recognized that if you want to experience true and profound freedom in your life, it comes by walking in the way of Christ and according to His commands, according to His truth and instructions. If you want to be free, you live obedient to the God of Scripture. I also want to encourage you today, if you've not already done so, to join one of the several Bible study groups that meets every week. To find a way to gather with others, to be in conversation about the Word and read it. There's a number of them. There's a couple on Tuesday. There's a couple on Thursday. there's one on Friday. There's lots of opportunities. And I want to basically challenge you, if you have been one of the people that essentially has been doing this on your own, I want you to hear my encouragement today to join with others to have that conversation about faith that I believe will directly impact and strengthen your growth in faith and the power of God at work in your life.